This is Heather Dubrow's World, and now you can live in it for 1 hour each week right here on Podcast One. Welcome back, everybody. Say hi to my producer, Ray. Hello, Ray.
Hi.
Oh, now, hi. Oh, truncated. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Please say hello to the fabulous Natalie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I am stressed. So what's new?
Oh, gosh, with the move.
Oh, my gosh, crazy. We're going to talk about that today. But first, let's do some business. Do not forget to get your tickets July 21st at the Irvine Improv, Heather Dubrow's World Live.
Ooh, so exciting.
I know, Terry Dubrow is going to be there. There's maybe some housewives there.
That'll be fun.
Some special guests. There's going to be amazing swag bags, some gifts from our sponsors, and some consult beauty. So go to irvineimprov.com for tickets. That's July 21st at 8 p.m. Those tickets are going fast, so you might want to pick those up. I am going to be on The Doctors May 27th. Actually, with our guest today, Dr. Jen Berman. She's awesome. So you can go to thedoctorstv.com to find out what channel it's on near you. And that's a really fun show with Dr. Stork and Dr. Orden, Dr. Jen Berman and myself. And I do a whole segment of Hip as Hot as Newest. So it's really fun. Can't wait for that to be on. And Terry and I are going to be back on Evine Live with Consult Beauty June 10, 11, and 12th with all of our, you know, regular stuff that you guys have all loved and a new cool product.
Ooh, I know,
it's a mystery product.
Uh-oh.
I know, I can't wait to share that. And here's some exciting news, Ray. You ready for this? He's ready. You know the book that Terry and I wrote?
Yes.
Okay, so the book that Terry and I wrote is not coming out for another 3 months, but it is the number one new release in our category on Amazon.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
I heard a little bit about it. Was it yesterday? I don't know, Monday, right?
Yeah, when Terry was here.
Talking about the fat freezing?
That's right.
Yeah,
we've kind of tried everything. So it's called Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig Present the Only Guide You'll Ever Need to the Best Anti-Aging Treatments. It's available for pre-order on Amazon.com. Don't forget to use your Heather Dubrow's World banner. If you go to podcastone.com and click on Killer Deals and find Heather Dubrow's World, you get to support our show and keep podcasting free. And you get to pre-order our book. Isn't that exciting?
So exciting.
I couldn't believe it. I knew it was for pre-order on Amazon, but someone sent it to me yesterday with the number one new release.
That's huge.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, it's so exciting.
So thank you all so much. I'm so excited for everyone to get to read the book, and Terry and I are going to be going on book tour starting in September when the book is released. So we're very, very excited about all that. Well, guess what? I've been traveling again.
I don't think you've stopped.
I haven't. But you know what that means?
What?
Me traveling.
More stories.
And the window saga continues. It's so bad. All right. I can't tell you where I went on the trip. You can just fill in the blanks on that. But I will tell you eventually where I went. But anyway, I will say this. It was a long flight. It was a very long flight. So here's my new flying saga. Mm. So you know the window thing?
Yes.
It's always the window thing. Okay, so I've now heard every argument to the window. Some people feel claustrophobic. They like it open. Some people like me like it closed. I want to sleep if it's nighttime. Well, okay, so I get on this plane, and here's like the ultimate FU to me.
Oh, no.
There's no shades.
How? On such a long flight like
there's that? No shades. They have this weird like gradient tinting thing where you push a button and it will get darker, but it doesn't black out.
Oh, that's awful. And how long was the flight?
Long.
Oh no. Same plane there and back.
Same plane there and back. I mean, but it never gets dark. I guess this is good for claustrophobic people because you can always see outside even if it's on the darker side. You know, think about sunglasses. You know how they're really dark at the top and they get lighter as they go down sometimes? It's like that.
Did you put up anything on the...
First of all, I kept pushing the button. You know I'm a little technologically backwards as it is. And I kept pushing the button and nothing was happening. And so I went, oy. So I got the eye mask out that I brought with me.
Okay.
It's very nice, a little silk, keep the wrinkles away. So I put my eye mask on and I reclined and I went to sleep. But you know, you can still see a peak of light coming through those eye shades.
Yeah.
But there was just a peak of light. And then at one point, I opened my eyes, and a buddy of mine that was sitting next to me had figured out how to push this thing and make it darker. But it was still, like, I could see the sun, like a ball of light.
That's awful.
In the sky. Even though it was darker, there was no shade.
Oh, that's like bad karma right there.
I walked in and I went, really? Really? There's no shade. I'm pushing everything. I'm trying to figure it all out. And then here was the other thing that happened on the plane. They kept waking everyone up.
Oh, no.
No, like over the loudspeaker. But it was this crazy. You know, usually you get woken up maybe 30 minutes before the flight is over. They'll say, hey, we're going to be landing in 30 minutes. Yeah. Be prepared. We're going to turn on the seatbelt sign if you have to use the bathroom, like that kind of thing. It was as outrageous as this. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be landing in 3 hours and 40 minutes. So please get yourselves together. And then 2 hours, there was a countdown.
Like every hour.
It felt like every hour. And then there, on one leg of the journey, there was turbulence. Mm-hmm. And I was exhausted. I slept through the turbulence, except I woke up because they said, ladies and gentlemen, there's turbulence. Okay, we didn't get that.
Oh my God, how awful.
Oh my gosh, they woke us up for everything. Then I made a joke the entire trip. Like, ladies and gentlemen. And they woke us up for food. You know, usually they don't wake you up if you're everything. Yeah. They just wanted everyone awake. Big party.
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, maybe you won't be flying that airline.
Maybe not, but I have to say, you know, it was kind of nice to check out.
On the plane?
Yeah, I didn't even watch one movie. I slept.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so unlike you.
I was tired.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I think, you know, I've been going, and especially a lot of stuff with the kids right now and work. And so it's been a lot. And I didn't realize how much I needed a break until I got on the plane. And I had loaded all these movies onto my iPad. I had, you know, headsets that I never turned on, nothing. I literally got on the plane, had a glass of champagne and went, Out. Bye.
Oh my gosh. What about on the way back?
Same.
Really? Oh, you poor thing.
Well, I hadn't really slept very much when we got back on the plane, so. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. That's a story for another time. Stay tuned for those stories.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, no, it was nice to have a break in routine, and I think a lot of us, you forget that you need a break in your routine.
Right. Yeah, you just get so caught up in the everyday hustle of, you know.
Yeah, I was talking to my aunt on the phone the other day, and I was saying, we're trying to, you know, find time for her to come out and visit. And she was like, yeah, you know, I'm tired. I'm like, well, of course you're tired. You work full time. You know, I'm giving her her schedule, and I'm thinking, look at me. It's like preaching to the choir here. Right. I'm like, yeah, everyone needs a break. It's good. And it's funny because, you know, the house isn't ready still. Mm-hmm. And so we have to move to a hotel. And I know that sounds so fabulous. Oh, poor you. You have to move to a hotel. But it's like the kids that get to move to the hotel. I'm at the new house, like unpacking and schlepping. But it's over Memorial Day, which is a whole nother series of hideous, bad timing. But what's nice about it is we're going to be in a hotel for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I thought, that's fun.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, that's like that's a break.
Yeah, it's a little vacation.
It's a little staycation, vacation something.
For one day, for you.
One day is better than no day.
True.
So the furniture was supposed to start being delivered 2 days ago.
Right.
That didn't happen.
I know.
Now we've pushed everything until next week. And now everything's... I keep talking every week about how, you know, it's like the worst possible timing with the kids getting out of school. But now it's really the worst possible timing. Everything's happening the same weekend. And it's Memorial Day weekend, so people take days off.
Yeah.
So no, movers won't work.
And they have to
be
out of the house by the 31st.
Oh, it's just... It's so bad.
Oh, it's so bad.
They won't give us an extension to like June 15th?
I think we've asked for like 20 extensions. I think we're like at our max extension.
But by the way, they wouldn't do that?
I don't know. I would have to find out.
We should ask them.
I thought you asked...
I can't remember. I wonder if we could get like an extension till June 5th.
That would be nice.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Let's ask.
I could use those couple days.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out. Okay. Yeah. Stay tuned for that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, because... And also, by the way, in the middle of this Memorial Day weekend is Tamara's show.
Oh my gosh.
So for those of you who follow Tamara, you'll know this, but Tamara Judge, by the way, she looks insane. Oh. She's doing this show on May 28th called Muscle Mania in Brea. And there's all different categories. I think her category is called Fit Model.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on stage and she has to pose and then there's a costume involved. I think she has to go up twice.
Oh, really?
In two different categories, something like that. But I'm so excited. Her body's insane. Yeah. She's been training forever with this great gal, Mia Finnegan. And Anyway, if you want to get tickets, they're almost out. I hear they're like 90% sold out, so you might be able to get a few. But go to MuscleMania.com for tickets if you want to see Tamara doing her thing up on stage.
Wow.
May 28th. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, good for her.
Look at her, mom of four.
Seriously.
She's a grandma.
That's insane.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so proud of her. That's a big deal to get up on stage like that in a bathing suit.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? Like, I mean, she's probably going to go up against probably her the same height, right? I think they go by height.
I don't know if it's a height thing. I think it's an age thing. I think you're in age categories.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, I think it's also weight.
Age and weight?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know, but she looks insane.
Wow.
I don't, I'm serious. Like, I was not going to go to the gym this morning. I saw a picture she Instagrammed and I was like, okay.
Her butt is like,
her butt's so good.
It's so good.
I know. I know I don't have that butt, but will you teach me how to pose like that? So at least in the picture, I look like I have a butt.
There you go.
I know. I'm so proud of her. Anyway, so go get tickets, MuscleMania.com, May 20th. And Jen Berman is on the show today. She is a urologist and she's a female sex expert. We actually met on The Doctors, where she's a recurring co-host. I'd seen her on TV before. She's amazing. But that was the first time I met her. And I thought she was so cool, so sharp and smart. So I said, you got to come on my show.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy she's coming on today. But just a little forewarning, we are going to be talking about sex today. So if you listen to my show with kids around or in the car, it's a little forewarning. All right. So be aware of that. For our beauty tip of the day, here's my beauty tip of the day. Light hand. Keep a light hand because you can always add more. So here's the thing. I was getting dressed very fast the other day, and usually I can do my makeup in about 20 minutes, like the full enchilada, about 20, 25 minutes. But I had like 10. So I threw it on and I looked at my foundation and it was a disaster.
Oh, no.
It was like and it was just too much.
Yeah.
And I literally had to wash my face. I left my eyes on, but I had to wash my face and start over.
Oh my goodness.
Because you can't take it off.
Right. You have to completely redo it.
You have to completely redo it. So my tip is start light. You can always add. Just do a very light foundation, finish your makeup, check it out. And if you need a little more coverage, you can always add it. For our hippest, hottest, newest today, this I thought was really cool. I ordered this stuff not really thinking it would work, but it does. So people are making makeup for working out, which sounds weird. But honestly, if you were going on a date and you're hiking, you might want to put on a little something, something, but you don't want to clog your pores.
Right.
If you have like a little breakout and you know, you're going to be in public, you know, you might want to do something about that. So I tried this stuff called K-Sport Wow Stick. It also has SPF 20 in it. And it looks like a foundation stick. It's really moisturizing and you just put it on all over your face. It was really light coverage, but it was very, very nice. Gave you even skin. It didn't look like you were wearing makeup. And when I worked out with it, it was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Didn't break me out.
Very natural.
Very, very natural. I like that a lot. And the other product I found that I really liked, it was called Arrow Revive Cooling Cheek Tint. Mm-hmm. It's paraben-free, cruelty-free, and vegan.
Oh,
I don't know why that's so important, but okay. Are you vegan now?
Yeah.
I thought you were a vegetarian.
No. I don't know. Through Friday, I try to be vegan.
You're part-time vegan.
Yeah.
And then are you a carnivore on Saturday?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, good. It's all about balance,
yeah, exactly.
People.
Hello, Minnesota. I have to have the bacon in Minnesota.
The bacon.
Yes.
How do you not have the bacon? June 10, 11, 12. We're going to eat bacon.
Exactly.
So the Revive Cooling Cheek Tint, it's like in one of the, it almost looks like a lip gloss with the little brush at the end that you click, 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 and it comes out of the end. And you put it on your cheeks and you rub it in and it's a blush. But it's so natural and just gives you a pretty glow. And I thought, wow,
that's
it was
awesome.
Really pretty. I do not wear makeup when I work out, but I thought these two products were so cool that if you don't feel comfortable going to the gym or you want something to put on right after the gym, but you don't want to do a whole big to-do, these are great products. I really, really liked them. So check those out. And by the way, you can buy them on Amazon.com. So use the Heather Dubrow's World banner. All right, coming up next is TV doctor, urologist, and America's leading expert on women's sexual health issues. I love this gal. It's Jen Berman. Stay tuned. I'm mildly obsessed with AT&T Digital Life.
Why? What is that?
Because you know how you leave the home and you're rushing out and later you go, oh my gosh, Did I lock the front door? Did I turn the heat down? Did I leave my flat iron on? Did I leave the garage door open? I do always do that.
So do I.
I'm the person that walks out of the hotel room and goes, did I lock the safe?
Yeah.
Always. Did I leave my iron on? Did I leave the tea kettle on? Like what? So with AT&T Digital Life Smart Home Security, you can help get rid of all of those unnecessary worries and stop asking, what did I, what if? Because what AT&T Digital Life does is it helps keep you connected to your home, meaning you have more control even when you're away. So if you forgot to, you know, give someone a spare key that needed to get in your house, you can unlock your door remotely from your smartphone using the Digital Life app.
That's genius.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
If you're worried about how, you know, the babysitter is doing with your dog or the cat or whoever, you could just check in on your pets with the indoor camera.
Love that.
Yeah. And if it got cold all of a sudden, you can actually adjust your thermostat on the go. Like if you're on your way home and you don't want the house to be cold, you can turn up your thermostat.
Now that's amazing.
And with AT&T Digital Life Smart Home Security, you can enjoy more freedom, convenience, and flexibility with a safer, smarter home. And you can stop asking, what if? So it's AT&T Digital Life Smart Home Security. And you can learn more at att.com/DL Heather. That's att.com/DL Heather. AT&T Digital Life Home Smart Home Security helps you keep connected to your home so there's no more what ifs. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, professional monitoring, remote access, so you can stay connected to your home from your phone, tablet, or PC with the Digital Life app, indoor and outdoor video cameras, motion sensors, remote lighting control, remote door control, smart plugs, water sensors. Look, you know what? I just built a house. Usually systems like this are outrageously expensive. This is such a great way to get the same kind of system for less. So don't be alarmist anymore of, you know, and get the AT&T Digital Life. It's unbelievable. It's available in limited areas in select markets. 2-year security agreement required. Camera, door, and thermostat functions each require separate package and agreement. Early termination, equipment, and other fees, monthly service and other charges and restrictions apply. See att.com/DL disclaimers for details, including license information. There's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy a new or used, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through our TrueCar certified dealer network. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. And you'll see what other people paid for the car that you want so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Using the TrueCar website or the TrueCar app, you can easily find the new or used car you want. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
And we're back. Please welcome Dr. Jen Vermin.
Hi. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so happy to be here, too.
I have another nice New York Jewish girl in the house. I love that.
I haven't been called that in a long time, as a matter of fact. Now that I've been living out here in California, my hair is blonde. I know.
What happened?
I know.
How'd you get out here? How did you get out here?
I came out here. It was supposed to be for a one-year fellowship at UCLA in female urology and pelvic floor reconstructive surgery, and I was going to stay a year and then go back to Boston. And, you know, clearly plans changed, and they offered me a position there, and I dragged my sister here and forced my then-to-be husband, now he's my ex-husband, to move
here.
Sorry,
honey.
And here we are.
That's what I did. Oh, I didn't have a husband at the time, but that's basically what I did, too.
Really?
I came out here, it was supposed to be like a year, and then I dragged my sister with me.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have a TV show like you guys. So it's funny, because we met on The Doctors, Jen and I, a few weeks ago, and we're going to be on May 27th. But my first memory of you is your show that you had with your sister on Discovery Health, Berman and Berman.
Berman and Berman, for women only.
For women only. I loved it because my sister and I always decided that had we gone into medicine, we were going to be dermatologists because we liked picking things. I think all women do.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was very cool that these two, because the only person that we had on TV talking about sex was Dr. Ruth.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, here is you and your sister, two like great looking smart girls talking about sex.
Sex and taboo subjects. I think that was what was so, you know, it was a wave that I didn't know was coming that really launched my career. And it wasn't anything that I anticipated. It's not like we set out as children, let's be sisters and let's work together and right. play the sex. I mean, it sort of happened organically. And I didn't even know what was happening or that it was happening because I was in the middle of it. But in hindsight, right now, sitting today, I do look back. And that show really was, which I totally took for granted, by the way. I didn't know. Like, I'm on TV. Yeah, whatever. But in hindsight, it really was revolutionary. We weren't talking about those taboo subjects with such detail and such candor back then, and it really did open the doors for a lot of these conversations we're having today.
Absolutely, which I love, because I'm just curious. So how was your family, because you and your sister are so open about this, like, what was your family like about sexuality and sex?
My family's really best. I mean, it's such a bizarre, you know, we've been asked that question 1,000 times. And of course, every single time I think about it and I cringe, you know, my father's a colorectal surgeon.
Right.
And, he is, very, I guess our whole family is very open about sex and frank about sex. Provocative about sex, even to say, on the one hand, but on the other hand, we were raised with a dad who said, nice, you know, traditional values, good girls don't, you
right.
know, sort of, while we were comfortable with our bodies and self-esteem, you know, all that other stuff, there was a message that, you know, about sex. And it is interesting. I don't know how, you know, I went into urology, which is a male dominated field about
it just,
penises
it,
and
yeah. Where did you grow up in New York?
In Manhattan, in
you,
the city.
Okay, so I grew up in Westchester. I don't mm-hmm. know if this makes a difference, because you girls in the city are a little faster than us suburb girls. Right?
Exactly.
But honestly, like, my family was very 1950s. There was no mm-hmm. talk. I had to, like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I learned on the mean streets of Westchester County.
About sex. Now, we knew, but it was still sort of an abstract thing. And I think that may be why I'm able to look at it without, you know, objectively, sort of like as any other bodily function, and talk about it frankly, because it was, you know, it's in sort of a detached way. I can't say whether it's healthy or not healthy. It is unusual. My sister going into sex therapy, me going in urology, us both coming together to work about sex. But it's not, you know, from where I come from, it's not just, I love all taboo subjects, whether it be breaking frontiers and breaking boundaries. If there's something that people don't want to talk about, or that they're embarrassed about or ashamed about, or that creates, you know, negative emotions, I'm like, there, you know, I love it.
I love that. I was just, you know, I know your dad was is a mm-hmm. colorectal surgeon. I was on Capitol Hill about a month ago talking about colon cancer and reforms and stuff like that, because my grandmother died of colon cancer. And one of the things I said in my speech was, why is it that when we're kids, we're like always love to talk about poop, mm-hmm. and then at some point it's embarrassing.
Right.
So it's exactly what you're talking about.
So bodily functions, talking about incontinence, which affects 1 in 3 women, is still considered lewd and profane to be talking about it in the media and on television. So whether it be incontinence or stool or, God forbid, sex and sexual fluids or function, it's, you know, it's still, you know, taboo subjects.
So I think I love that. And I think part of the reason, I wonder if part of the reason that it was talked about in your family is because your dad was a doctor, because I know my husband is a doctor, as mm-hmm. you know. And so our kids are very comfortable. I think I had to become more self-actualized as I grew into an adult. But then marrying Terry and having my little MD, I call it, you know, and raising our kids, they're very comfortable.
That must be why, that you're taught the body. It's like, you know, any part of the body, be it a finger, a nipple, a breast, you know, it was just sort of anatomy, right?
That is so how old are your kids?
My son is 16 and my daughter's 13.
Okay, I have 12, not 12, 12, 9 and 5. So I had to give, you know, my daughter the talk. Did you? I'm assuming you gave the kids
well,
the talk.
Well, unfortunately, my kids are 3 years apart. My son I'm a single mom. So the talk with my son was, you know, that's a whole different story. But I had gotten the book, you know, Where Babies Come From. I don't know if you know that, with the hippie people, and it's sort of cartoony. And I'd gone through that with him before he could really even read, because he was asking questions. Then eventually he could read, and the book went up on the top shelf. And I came, you know, this was, my daughter must have been five or six, and now my son can read, and he's sitting on the floor, and they've chosen that book to read. So that's how my daughter was first introduced to, you know, the birds and the bees, and from that, you know, so obviously I filled in the details, and but we do speak openly about sex. But interesting about my kids, they, even though I'm out there and talking, my son, when I was on Conan O'Brien, talking very frankly about sex and anatomy, and he was allowed to come, and he saw that, and he loved, you know, he still, when I speak about sex on a on a personal level, not about my own stuff, but just relationships, things that I'm doing, or him, or ask him questions, there is, both of them set a very strong boundary that they don't, you know, want to go there at all with me still.
Really? See, that's what I'm scared about. See, I have this fantasy of having this very open relationship, especially with my daughters, because that was like something that I felt like I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And so my oldest daughter, we talk about everything. I mean, we have funny conversations about, we've talked about it on the show, about pubic hair, mm-hmm. like all kinds of like funny, like silly things. But right now I feel like I don't want to lose that. So how do you keep, I think what I want to know is, how do you keep the conversation alive without embarrassing them and without ruining it for them? Because I have this friend, I swear to God, who has kids that are a little bit older, and she told her daughter, because a lot of the daughter's friends were having oral sex. And she told her daughter, have you seen your brother's hygiene habits? So think about that. If you ever want to give someone a, you know, oral sex situation, think about that one before you do it. And she was so horrified. And I'm like, but now you've ruined her for life.
Right. That's what she's going to think of, like, every single time.
Yeah, good job. Nothing's happening in high school. But guess what? Now you've ruined her for her poor husband.
No, that's, you know, on the one, and again, it's, I think in this day and age, my children go to a really progressive school. So there's a lot, you know, they're open to race, religion, sexual orientation, gender orientation, mm-hmm. all these different things. And what they see in the media and what they watch, you know, with the content in television on Netflix, with Transparent and all these things. Yep. So my kids are very sophisticated in terms of what they've seen. And they have sophisticated, almost adult sense of humor related to sex. And I watch Minions, these children's movies. Webbed in there is, you know, sexual innuendo.
But Bugs Bunny used to be like that too.
Yeah, and the skunk, you know, the whatever.
Pepe Le Pew. It was always sexual. There was something for the parents and something for the kids.
And now it's getting even more, you know. So they have sophisticated sense of humor, and they're knowledgeable about sex. And, you know, so that worries me. But one thing that came up the other day, my son said to me, and this gave me, like, I sort of sighed a breath of relief, but maybe it doesn't mean anything. But he asked me, he texted me from they were on break in school. He said he was with three of his friends, two girls, one boy, and they were having a very heated debate about when a man and a woman are having sex, does the penis enter the uterus?
That's a good question, though.
Is it? That sounds so to me, and my reaction was like, "Are you kidding?" Like, I got.
By the way, Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't even know the answer to that.
How she was promoting,
but Gwyneth Paltrow was promoting that vaginal steam, which we actually did for our book. Terry and I,
tried it out. Talked about that.
So
the uterus has a tiny leak. There's nothing that goes.
She was saying the steam cleans out your uterus. I'm like, well, there's something called the cervix in the way.
And the cervix is long, and the opening of the cervix is a pinhole, so you can't get into the cervix. The vagina is a blind, you know, sack or pouch at the end, so it ends. You can't enter the abdomen or anything through the vagina unless you perforate it, which isn't going to happen. So it ends, and then the uterus comes down. The cervix is there, but it's a tiny little hole. And I was so, like, horrified. I said, how could you not have learned that in sex ed? What are they teaching you? How are you really? And I couldn't even conceptualize how they could be imagining that it goes in there. But then I thought, you know, I'm a doctor. I said, they're not having sex if he's asked that question. But now you're asking the question. So they could be thinking that, where are they thinking it's going? How could it possibly be going into the uterus?
I don't know. But at least they're using correct terms.
Right.
I mean, at least, and why are they having this conversation?
Because
is it going to hurt the baby if someone's pregnant and they're having sex? Because that's a big conversation with that age group.
And with everybody. And even, you know, pregnant women worry about that. And
is that ridiculous, though?
It is. It is and it isn't, because, I mean, I can see, I remember, you know, when you're in different positions, you can feel it moving around and the baby. And then when there's thrusting going on, you're wondering, is that what's it perceiving? And then during orgasm, if you remember, like that's like a weird thing. I visualize like the blood flow getting cut off to, you know, the baby.
No, when I was pregnant with the twins, here's some TMI. When I was pregnant with the twins and we would have sex, I would get such bad contractions that my stomach would shrink wrap and you'd see two heads and then, distorted. By the way, game over. Bye. Done.
See, so. Baba,
over.
Exactly.
Not sexy.
But, in the truth, it doesn't hurt the baby. You know, that according to ACOG and gynecologists and everybody and what we know from research, the baby, it does not hurt. It is safe to have sex when we're pregnant. And then in the later terms of pregnancy, it actually helps to induce labor in some cases. So
how did you even get into urology? So we talked about your dad was a colorectal surgeon, but why? Like, I mean, I have a gal that works during the weekends, this really, really bright gal who wants to be a doctor. And she was like, I'm going to be a pediatrician. And then I started talking to her. I go, well, maybe you want to do it.
Yeah.
Talking about like, what kind of life do you want to live? Do you want to be called every night? Where do you want to go with that?
It's funny when you get to be a third year medical student, we go into medicine kind of, you know, with bright eyes and bushy tails. And you know, more or less, I think this in hindsight, that whether you want to be medically oriented or surgically oriented.
Right.
And I knew that I wanted to be a surgeon. And I thought I wanted to be a general surgeon. And it just so happened that the way that the cards were dealt, I got assigned when we were allowed to do electives.
Right.
I didn't get what I wanted. I wanted to do plastic surgery. I wanted to do ENT. I wanted to do ophthalmology. I wanted to go to Aspen. They had a sports medicine thing. I didn't get any of those. There's a lottery. And I got stuck with urology. And then like psychiatry at the Bedford VA hospital, which was like the worst one that nobody wanted. The two like most hard. But anyway, so I happened upon urology and I ended up having an amazing experience. I, you know, saw that each subspecialty has sort of a personality. So plastic surgeons have a certain personality.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
And cardiothoracic surgeons are different. Neurosurgeons are different. Urologists, I kind of felt like I had found my home with these people. That, you know, they were smart, fun, really loved what they do. They weren't miserable in their work like general surgeons were, like miserable and tired.
Right.
And
overworked.
Stressed.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, as they ascended the ranks, it gets worse and worse. Whereas in urology, once you became higher up, you know, as chief resident attending, life got easier. You had people below you that can manage things. People were healthy for the most part. There were acute issues that you could resolve and get people got better. It was men, women, children. I like the diversity of it.
So what made you go from like the leaky lady surgeries more to sexual problems?
What happened is I was focusing in male urology predominantly, and it was in the time when Viagra was getting FDA approved for men, so I was in all of that research. So everything related to sex and sexual health, I was there in the trenches doing the clinical research and the bench research.
Wow.
And so then when I because I was a woman and I was thinking, well, you know, how does this pertain to women? And women were coming into the clinic and office, and I was the only woman at that time. There were very few women in urology. You know, any woman that came in, they'd say, Jennifer, you know, you have her go see this lady. And they were asking questions. Well, you know, I'm feeling like I'm not having enough arousal, or my orgasms are different since I've gotten older, or my libido has changed, or I'm dry. And we weren't taught about that in medical school, and God forbid, not even in residency. So I'd ask my chief resident, she's like, I don't know, you know, whatever, tell her to have a glass of ask the attending.
Get some lube, have a glass of wine, and shut up.
You know, and their faces would like go this blank stare, and they said, I don't know, you know, get Netter's anatomy, pull out the anatomy book and figure it out. And then they said, well, go speak to the OBGYNs and speak to the chair of the, and I would speak, and nobody knew anything other than if you could have sex and it didn't hurt, that's all that mattered in terms of function. And then reproduction and fertility, they knew a lot about.
Right.
But in terms of arousal, sensation, satisfaction, orgasm, anything subjectively in the terms of feeling during sex was not something that medical doctors talked about. And so that's really where I plowed through, you know, and changed things. I've, you know, created this new frontier in terms of sexual medicine, where medical students are being taught about sexual health and female sexual response, the physiology of it, that there are real medical reasons why. It's not all in our heads. I mean, granted, the brain is the biggest organ in our sex organ in our body, but there are real medical physical reasons why women have problems. And physicians need to know about that, feel comfortable talking about that, speaking to their patients about that. And that's kind of, and now
that's a really important important statement because I think, I mean, it still is so taboo. Like, I don't, you know, I, again, I'm married to a doctor, so I feel like I talk a lot about everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not embarrassed, and I can talk to my doctor. But I think a lot of people are embarrassed still to talk to the doctors. I think it's nice that doctors are now opening up and asking questions. Because mm-hmm. I notice my GYN will ask me questions now.
Right. That's the standard of care, and that's the way it should. And if you don't ask, what we've learned and what we're teaching, if you don't ask, patients won't tell.
Right.
So it's important that we do ask the questions.
Oh, I think that's so great. I love that. I mean, thank God for you.
Oh, thanks.
We would have been in a closet with no orgasms. And speaking of orgasms, all right, so you must have secrets.
Well,
don't tell me the secrets yet because we have to take a break. We're going to come right back. Dr. Jen Berman has orgasm secrets.
I do, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Stay tuned. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports our show, Heather Dubrow's World. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, and completely online, Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Do you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork? Yes, me too. Well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or your tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So look, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/Heather. That's quickenloans.com/Heather. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Okay, and we're back. Oh my gosh. All right, I left you with a cliffhanger. Dr. Jen Berman is here, and she has orgasm secrets. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, well, orgasm.
I want them all.
The thing about orgasm, it is a really complex reflex that's learned in puberty, if not even a little bit before, if those brain genital connections aren't made at that time, it's not to say that you can't ever have an orgasm, but it's like trying to learn Chinese when you're 50 as opposed to 5.
Right.
And the way that people learn, young girls learn, they describe it in many different ways. Sometimes they'll say, you know, I was in a swimming pool, or I was in a hot tub, or I was, you know, rubbing around with a toy, or I saw reds, you know, whatever the way that they discovered that area and then tried to and had pleasurable feelings and then reproduced it, you know, happens in different ways, but it happens. And then that's how, and it is a complex reflex that involves muscular, vascular, neurological, emotional reactions that are all coordinated and in a
symphony. It's very complicated. Men are much easier.
They just need a hole to be simulated. And although for men too, not to minimize them, their minds can get in the way, especially as they get older with potency and things. But for women, for sure, the chatter in our head, the front part of our brain that's thinking, is very hard to shut off. And unless you've learned to do that or developed that reflex early on in your life, it's like for me to say, okay, meditate. Like,
right.
So that's sort of how orgasm is defined. So as you can imagine, some women are challenged in that area in terms of having orgasms. And then as women get older, it changes. As women have babies, or if they're on certain medications, or if they had chemotherapy or radiation therapy, whatever the issue, then orgasm can become more difficult, muffled. And then when the cost benefit analysis doesn't even pay off to have sex, then that leads to a hole.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad. So I have been throughout my career interested in how can we, you know, study orgasms. How can we optimize orgasms when they start to decline? And, you know, I've been working in this field for a long time, so there's different medications, there's different hormones, there's different things. But as I've come, you know, as the times have moved on, the technology has sort of moved forward, and there is a device that I didn't discover it, but I happened upon it at a conference, the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health Conference, which is a very academic, you know, these are, you know, people that are doing scientific research and clinical trials in sex.
Wait, how do you do that? I mean, do you put people in a room and to make them have, like, link them up with wires and things and make them have an orgasm?
Like masters of sex. That's how I started with my sister. We had virtual glasses. So they were 3D surround sound glasses where they would watch an erotic video by women for women. So there was a plot. There was a story.
The acting was good.
And they would watch the 3D surround sound video. And we would, they would use a clitoral vibrator, and we would measure vaginal blood flow and clitoral blood flow, uterine blood flow, vaginal pressure. So that was like the sort of very, my like fabric, you know, masters of sex. That's what we did early on. And we looked at changes, you know, with different medications, with hormones, before, with and without Viagra. There's now platysmographs, which measure pressure and flow. They're doing MRIs now, dynamic MRIs of the brain. And we can see what areas of the brain are activated during sexual thoughts and sexual imagery. So it's gotten very, very sophisticated.
Okay, but I didn't mean to get you off course. You were about to tell us
about this thing. So I learned. So I'm at the conference, and I was speaking to one of the, she's on faculty, she's a professor at Stanford, very well respected. And she said to me, have you heard about, you know, this device, and it's called the Womanizer? And I said, no, I never heard of that. She said, well, you know, it's guaranteed orgasm in 1 to 2 minutes. And I said, Leah, you can't guarantee. What do you mean guaranteed? They're just making false claims. I get really upset. How can they possibly say? She said, trust me, I'm telling you, 1 to 2 minutes. So I said, do you have one? She said, yes, I got one. I'm telling you. And it, and I said, well, what is it? She said, I don't know.
Just, do they want to sponsor our show?
Just buy it. Well, I have one out there for you.
Oh, you do?
She's going to pull it out. And so I was like, okay. So I called Sky from the meeting, my assistant, and I said, will you get on Amazon.com? And I said, and she said, yeah. And she goes, this is
using your Heather DeBros World banner, of course.
She said, yeah, it's on there. And so I said, okay, order one.
Wait, bring it in. She's got one.
So she ordered it. And in the meantime, I said, well, let's reach out to them. Who are these people? Like, what? So long story short, it's a man and woman couple. Will you open that, Sky? Who,
let me see the box.
Developed it, and they're from the Netherlands. They're not in the United States. But what is unique about this, and this is what fascinated me about it, it is an air compression system. So it's not a motor vibrator. So, you know, we've all, you know, the vibrator on the clitoris, like after a while it can be irritating or annoying.
See,
or
I don't
too
like
much.
Them because to me it's numbing.
Well, then this is your thing.
All right.
Okay. Because it doesn't numb, and it actually is an air system. So it kind of pulls and sucks. For lack of, like, any other way I can say it, is sort of like oral sex. Heather and the woman. And the other cool thing about it, what I love for the media, my whole breaking taboo thing, is it looks like an otoscope, so it's not phallic.
Oh my gosh, if you don't know what an otoscope is, it's what they put in your ears to see if you have an ear infection.
Yeah, so like when you go in the thing that look in the ear, so it doesn't look like a penile phallic shaped thing. So I thought, well, I can talk about this on TV. It doesn't look like a dildo, it doesn't look like a vibrator, and now we can talk about erotic toys. See, they never let me talk about erotic toys.
You can talk about it here. Did you hear about Gwyneth Paltrow pushing that $15,000
gold
thing?
Yes, I did.
What was with that? First the vaginal steaming,
then and then she's come up with a goop, a lubricant too. Well, good for, you know, Gwyneth, to me, and again, I don't
know. Oh, by the way, the Womanizer comes in a very cute pink case. And it's pink.
Now, patients have told me, they don't like that if it was just this, they don't like that it says Womanizer.
Well, we can white that out.
We can white it out. But look at this. So this is it. It turns on. I'm showing.
Oh my gosh! It looks like an otoscope.
Doesn't
it? It really
with
is.
A jewel. And it's got a jewel. It's blinged out.
Isn't that awesome?
That jewel can't fall off, right?
Seen. So if you put it, I'm going to pass this around. Okay. So if you put it on, you know, and it's subtle. If you put it on your thumb, like the meat area of your thumb, or the middle hand, put it in the middle.
You can feel it sucking.
You can feel it sucking, and it's like
really
like a blowjob to your clitoris.
Oh my god, that's great. Well, trust me, I'll be.
But you put it on that area.
Wow, feel that.
See. Okay, so then my next thing. Okay, so what about?
Are you buying stock in this company?
I've got a clinical trial. So we're running a clinical trial out of Tennessee with a nurse practitioner that I met at this meeting.
Okay.
Brooke Fout, who's an adorable young woman that's doing research in the field, and she's going to do the study. We developed the study in women perimenopausal, postmenopausal women with difficulty achieving orgasm. They can be now. My question was in women that are on SSRIs, antidepressants, yeah. Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, those ones, you know that those can cause difficulty achieving orgasm,
yes.
And low libido and inability to achieve orgasm, like none. And it's very frustrating, and they can't get off of their medications because, you know, with right. anxiety and depression in many cases. So I thought, you know, would this work in women taking
and
antidepressants? And I have two. And it did. And I was and vibrators didn't work. It's a miracle. Because of the pulling, it's something about the technology with the air and not the a motor rotating metal that's different.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
So this could really actually help a lot of people.
This could help a lot of people. And the thing about it, you know, and I guess all vibrators can be quick, but the speed and rapidity. And
I never got into it. I always thought it was. Did you like them?
No.
I always thought it was numbing. I never got it.
This isn't numbing. I'm going to get this is for you.
Thank you. Oh, look, Terry's texting me.
Wait,
by the way, speaking of what Terry's texting me, I'm going to tell him, don't need you anymore.
I've got my warm eyes.
I'm good. I'm actually going to take a picture of it. Here we go. Done with you. Okay. But here's the question. Since we all did just pass around and touch it, people need to understand hygiene when it comes to sex toys.
That's true. And not sharing sex toys.
Okay. Didn't even consider that. I was having a conversation with my daughter about lice this morning. This is a whole different ball game about not sharing combs. But yes, we don't want to share sex toys.
And then when you're using,
hey, Natalie, you want to borrow?
Well, you'd be surprised. And also, washing them in between. And then also, some of them are not safe with certain lubricants or oils.
Right.
Like if you're using coconut oil or olive oil, can be nidus or sort of petri dishes for bacteria. So you have to be sure to wash. Now, some of these, you have to be careful the more that you don't get water in areas where, you know, there's electronics that are going to damage it. But this particular one has a different, this comes off. So
wow.
You can wash that, and there's an extra one in there, like the little cup, like the condom. It has a condom on the tip.
That is so amazing. Well, that's the best gift anyone's ever brought me.
Better than diamonds.
Oh, my. Well, let's not get carried away, Jen. So let me ask you this. All right. So obviously communication is very key when you're in a sexual relationship with a partner. But, you know, some people are embarrassed and they're not as verbose as maybe you and I are, and they can't tell their partner what they want. What can people do to either overcome this sort of thing or show someone what they want?
Well, what I can say as a woman and having spoken to hundreds of, if not thousands of women and men, is that men really do want to know. They genuinely, sincerely, and wholeheartedly want to please us. So keeping that in mind, that anything that you can do or say in a positive way and reinforcing what they're doing in a positive way, and sometimes not necessarily in the moment, but after the moment, saying, I really liked it when you did this, or I really liked that. And
positive reinforcement. After, like the
a
dog.
Puppy. They want to please and realizing that and feeling and sometimes in the moment, if you're not comfortable using words, then, through your body language and through your nonverbal, you know, not necessarily words, but through moans or breath or whatever else trying to reinforce. But mostly important is, remember, they want to please us. So if you don't tell them and teach them, there's no way that they're going to learn. And men only learn by, if they're lucky enough, to have been with a woman that feels comfortable telling them what to do. They don't learn in the back seat of a 50 Chevy. They're not learning from the porn industry, that's for sure. So unless they've had the opportunity to have been with a woman that actually didn't fake orgasms and told him, yes, no, do this, do that, then that guy never really, you know, is going to truly learn. So we should take it as our responsibility.
Oh, so we have to teach our son. Oh, how do you teach your son?
You have to teach your sons.
I haven't had that talk with my son. Weirdly, they're twins, but weirdly, my daughter was ready for the talk, and she was great about it, and yeah. He hasn't had that talk. He's very naive,
I think. But does the husband have the talk with the boy?
I think the husband...
I'm worried about him giving the talk. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he can give the talk, and then you can give your version of the talk.
Right.
And
I wonder if he'd listen to it. But you just said your son will have nothing to do with that with you.
Well, he doesn't want to, but he said, you know, he saw me on Conan talking about the G-spot, and he talking about, you know, so different things. So the thing about him is that he's extremely curious. So planting a seed of, and then he researched, how he learned about sex, he wanted to go ago when he was like 6 or 7 to see the body exhibit.
Yeah, of course.
So he went to that, and I couldn't go. My nanny took him to the body exhibit. I thought, oh, that's cool. And he came back, and he said, and he asked me the question when I think he was five. So I saw the embryo, and I saw the egg and the sperm, and I'm just wondering how they get together. And at that time, I said, oh, well, because the belly buttons rub together. Right. And he believed that, you know, for a little while, and things went on. But the curiosity, you know, they have the curiosity, and I would encourage them to seek information, to learn. And again, in this progressive school that my kids are, they've been trained at an early age to, you know, to seek outside, to learn, to research, to ask questions, to get on the internet, to get on books, to talk to, you know, it's sort of been instilled in them, which I would encourage all people and all children, ask questions.
That's one of the challenges. That's one of the good things about our society right now. You know, we say there's too much connectivity, but when it comes to that, it is a good thing to tell your kids, look it up.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find?
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, when my kids were little and they were like, well, how does the baby come out? And I go, oh, it's very easy. I go into this room and they make an incision. Because I had C-section. They cut it out, and their dad's a surgeon. They were like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
My mom told me it's like making a big poop. That's what it feels like. That's what she told me. And that's what I thought it was going to be like going in there.
And how did that work out
for you? It was not. I had a 9-pound, 8-ounce watermelon coming in, my tiny little self, the first one.
I know, you are tiny.
And the next one, I had an elective C-section after the first one, because I thought, you know, there's nothing natural about natural childbirth. That was like, I've been scarred from that experience, because it was so traumatic, 17 hours of labor. And it's for somebody that likes being in control, you are so out of control.
I don't know anyone like that.
Yeah, right. But what are all these, the hypnobirthing and the birthing? Like, those ladies to me are heroes that can just sort of put it aside and let it go. And you don't know, is the cord around its neck, you know, the thing, the decelerations, the up, the down.
You
know,
but are you into the home birth thing?
I couldn't do it. But there are women that do it and do it successfully. I wouldn't recommend it to a friend, to a family member.
Me neither. I think there's enough birthing centers that you can recreate a home-like space where there's medical people nearby.
Too much can go wrong and quickly. And yeah, but to each his own, and I respect every woman's, you know, opinion.
Absolutely. Well, you're amazing. You are a regular co-host on The Doctors. You're there all the time, which is fabulous. I love watching you. And how do people get in touch with you if they need you?
Well, through my website, my email is drjrberman@drjrberman.com. My website, bermansexualhealth.com.
Bermansexualhealth.com
is the website. And then I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Jen Berman, MD.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
You know that great idea you have, the one you've been sitting on, the one everyone agrees is amazing, but now what are you going to do with it? Well, it is time to get your idea out to the world with your own professional quality website, blog, or online store. That's why I want to share how easy it is to get started with Weebly. Weebly was created for people with the courage to start their own business and the dream to be their own boss. And you don't need to be a web designer or know how to code to create a fantastic website. I was very impressed with the wide variety of professionally designed mobile-friendly themes that you can choose from. And then all you do is drag and drop to quickly build and publish your site. It is really that easy. And you can customize, update, and change your site anytime on any device. Very cool. Creating a fantastic website shouldn't get in the way of your dreams. Join the over 30 million people who are already dreaming big with Weebly. Get started today for free at Weebly.com/Heather. That's Weebly.com/Heather. Weebly.com/Heather. Apparently, some of my fans have still been shopping at Amazon without first accessing my personal Amazon banner at Podcast One. By using my unique Amazon banner, you will have access to everything available through Amazon, but it will support my podcast. And it's a killer deal, because not only are you getting exactly what you're already buying, but you're supporting my show while you shop. Shop with Amazon and support my podcast at the same time as getting killer deals. It couldn't be easier. So go to Podcast One and click on Killer Deals in the menu bar. Then select my show and you'll be directed to my Amazon banners that include my unique URL, as well as the sponsors who bring you my podcast every week. Click and shop. And when you use my code, you still get every great sale price, everything you'd usually get, but you are supporting my show and we're going to keep podcasting free. And for all my listeners in Canada and the UK, I've got links for you too. So check it out and buy the products you already planned on purchasing. Just use my Amazon page first. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
Welcome back. All right, Natalie, what do we have today for Dear Heather?
Okay, our first question is from Katie from Fresno, and she says, my best friend has given me the honor to throw her baby shower, and it's a gender reveal. I'm the only one that knows what the sex of the baby is, so there's a little bit of pressure to make this perfect. My question is, what would be a unique way to share the reveal? If I've seen people popping balloons filled with blue or pink confetti, and the cake cutting, etc., etc. I want to do something different. Would love your help.
Wow, that is a lot of pressure.
Have you been to one or have you done one at all?
No.
You haven't?
I never have. I mean, I've seen them done. I've seen people do them like on social media, but right. I've never done one before. Right, because usually what people do is they have a cake.
Exactly.
Because you want something closed that you can open. So what are things that are closed that you can open?
Like I've seen people do like the box and then they let go. They open the box and the balloons fly out, you know, but I feel like everything
you
is
know
kind of...
You know what would be fun? You know when you're at a concert and they have those confetti shooters?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like they shoot confetti over the crowd. What if you had four of them like in each corner of the room they shot pink or blue confetti and
That's
it was like
cool.
One, two, three, and then you there was, I don't know how they set them off. There must be a button or something.
Yeah.
And they went pop and all the confetti.
I love that. I just would hate that in my house because I have OCD. Because I
Well, hopefully they're having it at a hotel.
True.
Someone could just vacuum right up.
Yeah.
But that would be kind of
fun. I love that. That's so cute.
And if you can't find those poppers, I mean, maybe there's something overhead, like a shower could fall from the sky. Because I love the idea of it being like getting showered with the news.
That's cute. I like that.
Right?
Yes. That's smart.
That'd be cute. Try that. I love that. That's so sweet. Congratulations to your friend. Throwing a baby shower is such a sweet thing to do for someone.
Yeah. Especially when you're asked. I mean, what an honor, you know? That's very sweet.
Very, very sweet.
Okay, here's another one. This is from Virginia, and she's from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Heather, Natalie, and Ray. I love your podcast and I'm a faithful listener from the beginning. I tell everyone to listen for awesome tips on everything. My husband and I are coming in June to LA for our 20th anniversary, both of our 40th birthdays as well, but only have 3 days. What are the best ways to experience a city like a local? We're not into super touristy spots and love being outdoors. We'll have a car so we can drive wherever. Thank you.
Oh, there's so much to do in Los Angeles. I mean, honestly, I'll give you a few of my favorite spots, but I feel like the best way to do it is to Google Los Angeles because you can find such a great comprehensive list because maybe you want to hike up to Griffith Observatory,
which
you know, is a really fun thing to do. Runyon Canyon is very cool. I like being in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Monica is a great place. You can walk up and down Third Street Promenade. You can walk up and down the beach. There's, you know, the pier is down there with an amusement park and that kind of thing. Beverly Hills, you can't miss Beverly Hills and Rodeo Drive. And of course, Hollywood Boulevard. You got to go see the Walk of Stars.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite restaurants in LA?
Well, I like the Ivy. The Ivy is an amazing restaurant. I also love Boa Prime. There's so many good places. Madeo is really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's so many great places to go. And, you know, you have to go to the Reege Bev Will from Pretty Woman. You got to see that. You got to take the little Rodeo Drive walk down to the hotel. I mean, there's so many amazing things to do here. But I always, you know, when I'm going to a new city or even a new country, I'll Google the place and write like most touristy things to do, like things off the beaten path, what locals like to do. And then you get a cross section of what sounds interesting. And another great thing to do is when you're in town, whether it's LA or any place you're visiting, if you find someone, you know, someone in a store or a server that seems cool that you start chatting with, ask them.
Yeah, talk to locals. That's good.
Always talk to locals. I was just somewhere recently, which I can't tell you about, but I will soon. And this gal came up to me that worked in the store and said, "Oh, I love your boots." And I said, "Oh, thanks." And we started chatting and I said, "So where do you shop around here?" And she told me, and she was so right.
Oh, really?
So always talk to the locals.
Oh, good. Here's another question. Her name is Leslie and she's from Maine. She says, "Hi, Heather. I look forward to listening to your podcast every week. Last week, you mentioned a Chanel lip gloss that is always in your bag. Can you share with me what the color is?"
I have a bunch of different Chanel lip glosses, but I always have my Wet n Wild 666 lip liner in my bag and then any Chanel gloss. But I do like, there's a couple of, I'm going to call them clear glosses, but when you look at them in the tube, they look pink,
right?
Like light pink, medium pink, dark pink. But they have, I think one's called Happy, one's called Sexy, one's the Lip like the Plumper doesn't plump your lips, but it's a little tingly. I kind of like it. Yeah. That's clear.
Yeah.
Any of those I love over that lip liner, and it really, really works on any skin tone. I just think it's amazing.
And here's the last one. This is from Victoria in Kentucky. "Dear Heather, who is your very bestest friend? Besides Terry, how long have you been best friends? What is your favorite thing to do together? And why is he or she your best friend? I enjoy listening to your podcast every week. Thank you."
Oh, that's so funny. You know what? I have a group of best friends. And then I have best friends from childhood. And then I have best friends from college. So it's not really like that for me because I've moved. I think when you stay in one spot and you grow up with someone and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that my group in California is a really tight group of women that I just love so much. But you know what happens? You know, you all get so busy with the kids and the schedules, and it's hard to get together. One of my very best friends, Lisa, called me 2 days ago and goes, "Okay, haven't seen you. Need a date. Give me a date. Give me a date. Give me a date." And I go, okay. Put the date on the calendar and you have to schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love hanging out with my friends. I'm not a big shopper. I know people find that hard to believe, but I don't love shopping. But I like to just hang out with my friends, have lunch, have champagne, chat. It's like a checkout for me.
Right. I love that.
But some of my friends, but like one of my other best friends, Danya, she and I work out together several times a week.
Right. So you have different things that you do with each friend.
I guess, but I think that's accidental. Like we happen to go to the same gym, so we hang out before and after. But it's not like, oh, let's work out together.
But I would say you guys are, your lunches are like your guys' thing.
I love it.
You guys do.
I love that. Because you know what it is? It's like a mini party. You know, anyone that knows me knows I like to celebrate everything. I like to celebrate life. I like having things to look forward to. And in my group, I'm the planner.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm busy and not planning, I think sometimes some of my friends get antsy and they go, "Oh, she's not planning anything. Uh-oh.
Right.
Uh-oh. There's nothing on the books."
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And by the way, the other side of that is that sometimes when I have too much time, I overplan and they go, "Oh, here she goes again. She's planning.
She's got too much time on her hands."
Can't really win. But yeah, no, you know what? We like having lunch.
Yeah.
Fabulous lunches. It's like a birthday celebration for no one.
Love that.
Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Love, love, love hearing from you. Thank you for making us the number one female podcast on Podcast One. It's so exciting. Love getting your feedback. Don't forget, Heather Dubrow's World is going live at the Irvine Improv on July 21st. That's a Thursday at 8 p.m. Go to irvineimprov.com for tickets. Love to see you. We're going to have great special guests. guests. There's going to be lots of fun goodie bags from our sponsors and from me and Terry from Consult Beauty. May 27th, check me out on The Doctors with Dr. Jen Berman, who you met today. And June 10th to 12th, Terry and I will be back on Evine with Consult Beauty. And also, don't forget Tamara's show. Tamara's Fit Show is coming up May 28th. Musclemania in Brea. Go to musclemania.com for tickets for her. They're almost sold out, so do that fast. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.